This is PGI. Please stand by. We're about to begin. Good morning, and thank you for joining the Hospice New Zealand Palliative Care Lecture Series. Our thanks to Genesis Oncology Trust for their continued sponsorship, which allows us to bring you these lectures. Please be advised that today's call is being recorded, the 6th of August 2015. I'd now like to turn the conference over to your speaker for today, Dr. James Yap. James is a Clinical Director, Palliative Medicine Specialist at Totara Hospice, South Auckland. Please go ahead.
Good morning, everyone. Morena, this is James Yap speaking from South Auckland. Again, I'd like to thank Genesis Oncology Trust for making this talk happen, also Hospice New Zealand for hosting, and the always entertaining Brian Ensor in Wellington for suggesting me as a speaker. So we're going to do things a bit differently today. I like to mash things up a bit, so it's going to be a bit different from the usual Genesis Oncology lectures. If Prue McCullum's out there in Tauranga, would you mind live tweeting this? Because I'm not that good at multitasking to be able to speak and live tweet at the same time. Also, hello to Karen in Cranford Hospice, my high school classmate. So in preparation for takeoff, please stow your stow your tray tables, make sure your seatbelts are fastened because we're about to take off on a ride. Slide 2, please. So this lecture is dedicated to our good friend Eileen Brosnan, who was sadly lost to our hospice and the wider palliative care world almost a year ago. Also dedicated to Eileen's trusty companion, Salty. Eileen worked in many hospices throughout New Zealand, helped us out with on-call rosters and everything, so if we could have 15 seconds of silence for Eileen, it would be much appreciated. Thank you. Thank you. Slide 3. So we're going to take you on a bit of a journey. We're going to go to the past, we're going to explore one man's journey in the internet world and the palliative care world, and also bring you up to the present, the current information age. I'm going to give you a glimpse of the future. If I was to tell you everything that might happen in the future, well, I don't have that ability to start with, but this could end up being a whole day workshop, so it will just be a brief glimpse of the future, and the future includes the internet of things. So without further ado, we'll get started. 1995, the dawn of the internet. I'm not sure what you were doing back in 1995. I was in the second year of med school. Population of New Zealand at the time was 3.7 million people. Prime Minister was good old Jim Bolger. If you're a follower of the New Zealand Music Awards, album of the year was Supergroove's Traction. Here's a clip from Supergroove. I can't get enough either, of palliative care that is. 1995 was also when Windows 95 was launched, and if you see to the right of your screen, I'm not sure if you can see my cursor, tell me if you can, Netscape Navigator was how people got onto the internet. I remember the first time I did so. Back in 1995, I could barely do email at the time. I was in Otago University. One night, I went onto Netscape and took part in the IRC, which is an internet relayed chat. I was talking to a doctor in Australia, total stranger, and I thought, hey, this is pretty cool. Didn't really do much more after that in terms of internet stuff. Too busy trying to get through med school. Next slide, slide number 5. So we fast forward to 1999, and that's when my unexpected journey into the internet age began. I had gotten myself a Hotmail account as my first webmail account, one that I still use actually. I'm not sure if you remember down at the right bottom corner, but this was something called ICQ out of Israel, a instant messaging application which allowed people to connect with people all over the world. It was pretty fun doing that. There were other uses. Eventually they were bought by America Online for a hefty price. But you don't see much of ICQ anymore unless you're in Russia, because the Russians have taken over, just like they've taken over Crimea. Anyway, that's another lecture. Off to slide 6, thanks. So again, fast-forwarding in time, 10 years later, 2009, I was a palliative medicine trainee, advanced trainee, and I also happened to be the palliative medicine educational committee trainee rep. I had been thinking about trying to connect registrars with each other so that we could support each other through our training, so I developed a website on something called a platform, which at the time was free, called ning.com. And so I created Palliative Registrars Australia, New Zealand, cool, PRANZAC. At the same time, I offered to create websites for my medical oncology colleagues, medical oncology registrars of New Zealand, morons, and also for my Geri's friends, Geriatrics Registrars Australia and New Zealand, grands. Those offers were politely declined. Slide 7. So I needed to do an advanced trainee project. So I have to say thank you to Dr. Sarah Rishworth, who's either in Auckland or in Wellington. Thank you for suggesting my advanced trainee project, which was to incorporate the things that I'd been doing with my little registrar network. So this is a project that did take a bit of time. So here's a little audio clip for this particular one. Sure you're familiar with the Mainland Cheese ad.
I always thought me and Billy Wellers would be good friends, but we'll see. These things take time, you know.
Yes, from the world of Mainland Cheese to the world of an advanced trainee project, here we go to slide number 8. So my project was about the feasibility of developing a private password-protected online support network for New Zealand palliative medicine doctors as a self-care practice. I was supervised by good friend Dr. Willie Landman and also Professor Rod McLeod. And you can read the aims from the abstract there. So I wanted to assess if Kiwi palliative medicine doctors were keen on using the internet as a way of providing peer support to each other. Thank you very much to all of those who replied to my SurveyMonkey survey all those many years ago. This is the time that I'll be presenting my results, so sorry about the lag. Had something to do with having two children. Anyway, the method was to survey New Zealand doctor members of three palliative care organisations, those being Hospice New Zealand, of course, Australia, New Zealand, Society of Palliative Medicine, and Hospital Palliative Care New Zealand. So this survey was done back in 2010. And quite a good response rate, all considered, of 66.2%. Respondents were pretty comfortable using computers and the internet. Peer support groups were considered a self-care practice of high to very high importance. A virtual support group was thought to supplement, not replace, current peer support groups. And 93.6% of respondents were willing to join a private password-protected online peer support network / virtual support group to explore this further. As I said, I got rather busy and wasn't able to develop this, but a version of this will be talked about in a few minutes. The conclusion was that New Zealand palliative medicine doctors continue to face increasing stressors, making self-care practice such as peer support and collaboration increasingly important. Whether this can be achieved through virtual support groups requires further study. Maybe someday I'll be able to do further study. At the moment, we'll just carry on with this talk. So, slide 9, thank you. Finishing this project, which I eventually did, and thank you for Willie's patience, allowed me to get my golden tickets, my FRACP. We'll fast forward back into the future again, back off to 2014. Here's a little musical interlude again. 2014, a Palliative Care Odyssey. I'd been working at Tauhara Hospice South Auckland for 2 years as a consultant by then, and changes were afoot to introduce a new model of care. Part of that model of care was an exploration of telehospice, telemedicine. Not sure how experienced you are with telemedicine, but it is happening all over the country, all over the world, coming to a hospice or hospital near you. How do we do it? It's the use of smart devices, such as smartphones, video phones, laptops, even plain old desktop. You need a webcam, which we haven't got this morning, else you'll be able to see me in my pajamas presenting. Why would you want to do telemedicine or telehospice? Well, it allows you to cover great distances. We'll cut down greatly on travel time. Colleagues who have to travel from Christchurch to Greymouth Hospital can understand that. Also, colleagues travelling from Waikato to Taupo or Rotorua, this is something that they could consider. It allows more virtual face-to-face time, not direct face-to-face time, but virtual through online means. Who can it help? Patients, families, other clinicians can help people to connect with each other. Where is it happening? As I said, all over the place, all over New Zealand. In clinics, at home, Northland, New Zealander of the Year, Dr. Lance O'Sullivan, has been running a very successful virtual dermatology clinic up in Northland, where school libraries have iPads. School kids up north can have their school sores checked online by Lance's setup. If required, antibiotics can be prescribed very quickly and preventing terrible skin infections and also hospitalizations and also possibly preventing scarring for life. So I think that's a great thing that Lance is doing up north. Similar thing could be done all over New Zealand. I mentioned Greymouth. They've been running pediatric clinics in Greymouth Hospital where the doctor is actually beaming in from Christchurch, and this has been very successful. So on the Greymouth end, there's a pediatric nurse along with the family and the little patient, and the doctor beams in all the way from Christchurch, and it seems to be working well. Similar initiatives are happening all over the country. So at our hospice, we wanted to give it a go as well. So what can you do with telehospice, telemedicine? You can think about clinic appointments, think about home visits, family meetings. We've had one family meeting where the doctor relative could not be there in person but was able to beam in through the wonders of the internet. Recently, we've had a patient who was critically unwell, was dying, and two of her children were actually in situ, were on site. But her third son was actually in Dublin, Ireland, and so he couldn't be there in person, but he was in there via a Skype presence. So he was at his mum's bedside, able to see what was going on right to the very end, and although he couldn't be there in person, he was there virtually, and she felt his presence. So when is this happening? Well, it's been happening already. It's been happening yesterday. It's happening all over the world. So you've got to think to yourself, do you want to join in the fun? Do you want to run a telehospice service yourself? It's not as hard as you think it would be. Off to slide 12, thanks. So as part of our county's Manukau Health Palliative Model of Care, should have put quotation marks, the e-future. An e-shared care record has been trialled, has been explored, but not without its hiccups. The local provider, Health Alliance, has been testing CCMS. It's HSA Global's Connected Care Management System. So the theory behind that is that the local GP can put their patient on this shared care record. The shared care record could also be seen by hospice people, by the district nurses, by the pharmacy, by the hospital doctors and nurses if required. So anyone involved in the patient's care team will be able to access the shared care record. So if a hospice nurse, for example, was to see a patient, they could write notes on that patient and it would be beamed through wonders of the internet into the patient's shared care record so that anyone else involved in the healthcare for this patient could also see what is going on. There have been a few hiccups. One of the major hiccups from last year was that the medications module wasn't working, but they are still, so let's just say this is a work in progress, and similar things may well be going on all over the country. Off to slide 13. I forgot to mention right at the start, but this talk will take about roughly about 40, 45 minutes, so there will be time for questions at the end, hopefully. So next part is we did consider e-learning. We surveyed local GPs as to what they would like in terms of teaching from us, the local palliative care education providers. They said e-learning would be nice. We did look into it. My colleague Oleg and I explored various options and found them all to be rather expensive. If you're wanting to see what e-learning looks like, you can go to this website, learnonline.health.nz. So do that in from the comfort of your own home or wherever you want to do it. That's the Ministry of Health's e-learning website. They've got lots of good courses. You can learn all sorts of things about hepatitis, for example. That's a very good module. There's also a module on lean thinking. So that's to do with Toyota lean thinking, which is a management style. So that, there's a very short module on that. That's the sort of thing that's been introduced into our hospice setting to try and improve our ways of working. So as I said, I'm quite fond of borrowing from all sorts of different places. So lean thinking, if it helps us, I think that'll be a great thing. So check out Learn Online. Also check out from the National Advanced Care Planning website. They've got some very good e-modules which form level one of the ACP certification. They're free. They cost quite a lot of money to make, so pretty slick operation. This is what e-learning could look like. From our exploration of it, it's far too expensive for any lone hospice to make e-learning modules of their own. So instead, we needed to think of other things. Slide 14. So instead of e-learning, I decided to develop a little local website. So we were starting with the eastern locality of our little palliative care network, and this has become a South Auckland palliative care network. So I managed to get a free website through something called mixed.org, I should say. So I had a huge budget to work with, $0, and lots of time, lots of non-clinical time was set aside, i.e. none, but I managed to do this in my spare time. And just like any social network site, it's got things that you can put on it. I can't show you the full website, unfortunately, because we're not connected to the internet, but otherwise, which is sort of funny considering the subject matter. So it's all about putting information on a website that's accessible to local doctors, pharmacists, social workers, you name it. Everyone can connect on this website. So it's somewhere to advertise local education opportunities, such as the Genesis Oncology Breakfast, amongst others. You can put on files such as, example, syringe driver prescriptions or whatever you want, really. You can post videos, you can post images such as flowcharts for improving pain control. All sorts of algorithms can be posted on it. It's a place for discussion forums to occur, so you can discuss topic of the week, for example. So I've also got a whole bunch of links, which I can't show you at the moment, but maybe at another stage. And also, I've included a self-care section because I'm quite keen on self-care and team care. So this is what became the South Auckland Palliative Care Network site. And this may be developed further, But if you're running a website, you need to really have someone who can look after it. So I've been doing this in my spare time, so I just haven't been able to keep up with things. But I post to it as often as I can amongst my other roles. So slide 15, please. So we're going to have a slight exploration of Code of Care social media. And our good friend, www.codeofdrugs.com. When you do get copies of these slides, I'm hoping that these links will actually be clickable so that you don't have to retype them in. Just click on the blue link and it should take you to the website. And I'm sure that most of us in the audience have been to codeofdrugs.com at some stage in our Code of Care lives. It's still a very good website. Lots of great discussions happen on the bulletin board. So the people who started it off were real pioneers in Code of Care social media. We really have to take our hats off to them for starting up something, and it has withstood the test of time. So you can check this website out in your own time. Slide 16, please. Another granddad website of Code of Care social media is palimed.org. Christian Sinclair started this 10 years ago, and it is still going very, very strong. So it's a great website where it's not just about palliative medicine, but also the art side. There's lots of cases. There's palliative care grand rounds. If you've never been to it before, you're really missing out on something. I think there is an app that Christian has also developed. And if you're happening to go to the PCA conference in September in Melbourne, Christian Sinclair will be there, so you might get a chance to meet the main man yourself. Next site I'm going to talk about is Jerry Powell, so a geriatrics and palliative care blog, which is trying to link up the two specialities, which, as we know, have a huge amount in common. There's a huge amount of overlap. So let's get talking to our local geriatric services about palliative care. It can only benefit our patients. And nationwide, worldwide, we are needing to get palliative care services and education training into the aged care residential facilities. They are where a lot of our citizens will be living. We all know about the aging population. More and more of our people will be calling private hospitals their home. We need to really work with our geriatricians to look after our citizens better in these settings. So that sector really needs our help, so please put up your hands. Think about things like in-reach programs. Think about becoming friendly with your local geriatric service, because we're going to need to help each other. Enough of my sermon. Slide 18. Palliverse.com. So this is something close to my own heart. I'm one of the co-founders of the site, and although I couldn't get a password-protected online network for palliative care doctors, this is what I've been working on instead. So in collaboration with Seven Oxymoron coming up, Nice Australians, we got together in online in February of last year, started talking about developing a palliative care website. So Palliverse, bringing people, ideas and funding together in the palliative care universe. We launched at the ANSPAM conference in the Gold Coast, September of last year. We were able to live tweet our launch. And we've been writing lots of articles, lots of blog articles since then, such as slide 19. Whoops, actually that's a slide of Celloverse. Not to be confused with Palliverse, we're much better looking. My, that's a lovely cello you've got, young man. Slide 20, please. So our target audience of Palliverse: researchers, clinicians, and eventually consumers of palliative care. So we saw that there was a bit of a gap in the market. Australia, New Zealand didn't really have much in the way of palliative care websites or social media. So we wanted to concentrate on Australia, New Zealand, develop a bit of ANZAC spirit between our two countries, you know, talk to each other, possibly collaborate with each other in terms of research, discuss ways of doing clinical care. So we concentrated on Australia and New Zealand, but we've actually developed a bit of a global audience. We have regular visitors from Rwanda, from Finland, from the United States, Canada. So it sort of illustrates the point that if you're doing stuff online, on the internet, you can actually reach a global audience. And that really appeals to us in many ways, because palliative care in many, many different countries is still a non-existent speciality. Palliative care as clinical provision is non-existent. People can not even get strong pain relievers such as opioids, let alone have built up palliative care systems. So if we're putting stuff on a website, we can actually be helping our brothers and sisters trying to do the same thing in other countries. So that really appeals to myself. So palliativeverse.com, we aim to be multidisciplinary. So it's not just for doctors, but for everyone involved in palliative care: nurses, pharmacists, physios, allied health, speech therapists, spiritual care coordinators. We want to hear your voices, especially from New Zealand. I'm a bit lonely. I'm the only New Zealander on the team. We are looking for other team members. So if there's any Kiwi nurses, pharmacists, allied health members, whoever, please send us a line. I'm going to put my email address right at the end of this talk. So drop me a line, join the team, join the conversation. We really need a Kiwi voice, because at the moment Australians are, they're pretty loud in general, aren't they? Slide 21. So I'm not sure if you've heard of this thing called hashtag FOMED. I'll explain in a minute, but this is one of the little blog posts that I've been writing over the past year or so. So we started off as a blogging site, not realizing that we were actually becoming a FOMED site, which if you'd asked me, did you think that you'd be creating a FOMED site, my answer would have been, and I'm sure you all know this lovely Australian gentleman, Rhodes Scholar, very popular across the ditch. The only thing I have to say is, what a lovely pair of budgies. Look at the boy, not the big boy. Slide 23. What's this FOAM, WTF? Well, FOAM stands for Free Open Access Medication. It started off as medical education, but it could well be nursing education, healthcare education. The main principles are for education, free open access, so it's online, you can access it if you've got an internet connection, for anyone, anywhere, anytime, on any device. So it's regardless of platform, could be on Mac computers, on PC computers, on many tablets, many smart devices, Android, Linux, whatever, anything that can connect to the internet can connect to FOMED. The objective is to make the world a better place by providing free education. And as I said before, this education is not just having a local reach, but possibly a global reach. So the stuff that you're providing online could actually help your fellow humans in countries all over the world. So it's quite a cool thing to do. So how is it done? Via blog sites like what we thought Palliverse was. You can also make podcasts, both video or audio podcasts. So that's little video recordings or little audio recordings that you can post online, so you can share your knowledge with people all over the world. Tweets, I'm going to talk about Twitter very soon. Google Hangouts, online videos, text documents, photographs. Not sure if you heard of something called Facebook, but you can actually form groups on Facebook. Various hospices throughout the country have their own Facebook pages, such as Totara Hospice South Auckland, amongst many others. Slide 24, please. So here's a quote from Joe Lex, who's a bit of a pioneer in terms of FOMED. And Joe said, back in 2012, if you want to know how we practiced medicine 5 years ago, read a textbook. If you want to know how we practiced medicine 2 years ago, read a journal. If you want to know how we practice medicine now, go to a, in brackets, good conference. Good conference was the ANSPAM Aotearoa conference in Wellington in the weekend. very, very small, but always good to catch up with people. Sorry about that. If you want to know how we will practice medicine in the future, listen in the hallways and use foam. Foamed, that is. So next slide, slide 25. If you want to find out more about foam, please go to this website, lifeinthefastlane.com. It's a good website created by Mike Cadogan and his rather big crew of emergency medicine doctors. They were pioneers in foam med, so there's all sorts of stuff on that website, collections of cases, an ECG library. It's also stuff that you can find on examinations. Also a very good explanation of what of the foam med movement in general. So check out lifeinthefastlane.com. Next slide is slide 26. So what I want is for you to come and join our foam party. We do have a very nice bath in Tauhara Hospice, but this is not it. So we're very keen on creating something called Foam Pal. So it's not just your bath time buddy, but it could be page of care foam, so education that we can send out online that could benefit palliative carers all around the world. So that's what Paddyverse has become, a Foam Pal site. So think about whether or not you want to join us, because the education that you're doing for your local audience could actually be sent out, broadcast to a global audience at very little cost these days. You can create YouTube channels for free as long as you've got a Gmail account, so you could actually broadcast some of your media, some of your message out there. And I think that's something that we really have to consider in this day and age. So it's not just about traditional forms of media, i.e. print, newspapers, magazines, TV, but you can actually create your own media, your own social media, and broadcast it out there. So, you know, we're all trying to fly the palliative care flag, trying to send out the palliative care message. So think about whether or not you want to broadcast it to a wider audience. Slide 27, please. So again, Paddyverse.com, we've become a curating site, so we try to gather all the good stuff from the palliative care universe, try to bring it to one place. We're also creating new content, of course, so we're really into this Foam Pal stuff. You can also find us at Paddyverse, live tweeting from a conference near you. And if you want to see some of the live tweets that I've sent from recent conferences, including one in Wellington just in the weekend, you can go to my my own hashtag, my own sort of Twitter address, which is at YapManForever. So that's JAPManForever. So just Google that and you'll find my Twitter page. Page 28, please. I'm not sure if you've heard of MOOCs. These stand for Massive Open Online Courses. Universities throughout the world, including our own Auckland University, are creating courses that can be done online at any time. So this is from EDX, one of the leaders in the field. There's also Coursera, Udacity. There's also the Khan Academy. These are places where you can take courses, university-level courses, that have been designed by various places such as the Massachusetts Institute of Technology, lots of other centres like Harvard. So you can actually take courses from Ivy League universities throughout the world. Most of them are for free. You can take the courses for free. This is one that EDX has in association with RiceX, that's Rice University in Houston. So this is Medicine in the Digital Age, something that I've been trying to take myself. But if you want to learn more about MOOCs, just look them up online, do a Google search or a Yahoo search, whatever you want. You'll be able to find out lots of information. There's lots of courses, and as I said, some of the courses are not directly palliative care, but there's a lot that we can borrow from other places such as the business world, the corporate world. So if you wanted to learn computer programming, for instance, you could do so online at one of these courses. So check it out yourself. As I said, I could probably talk all day about what's available through the internet on these courses, but check it out yourself, see what you want to learn yourself, join a course, give it a go, and tell us what you think. Slide 29, please. So, social media, I'm not going to talk much about this, but just a list of names. I'm sure you're all familiar with Facebook. So you're allowed to, you know, you can broadcast whatever you want on your Facebook account. There's very successful Facebook accounts like Code for Medicine Training that one of my friends in Australia runs. LinkedIn is a professional social network, which I'm sure lots of you have accounts on. WhatsApp, a messaging app that's pretty popular all throughout the world, good way of keeping in touch with people. Our GP registrar that we had for the last 6 months, I was very impressed that she had kept in touch with most of her classmates using WhatsApp. So when I had a question to ask about, so what's the availability of this therapy in India, our registrar Vimi was able to WhatsApp her classmates on her little classmate network, and within minutes she had the answer to my question about what was happening in India at the time. Viber is another messaging app. You're familiar with YouTube, of course. Google Plus is Google's social networking software. And you may well be familiar with WordPress. Paliverse.com is actually using WordPress to run it. Blogger is another favorite blogging platform. So if you've never blogged before, you can give it a go on either WordPress or Blogger. They can give you a free account. You can start writing and broadcasting to the world. So think about that. That's one way of communicating with your patients, with your community, with your colleagues in other places. You know, we're all trying to do the same thing in different locations. So if we can do it together, I think it's better for palliative care in general, better for palliative care New Zealand in general. On to slide 30, please. So Twitter, you may have heard the word before. You may not have explored it yourself. Don't be afraid. It's a little world of its own. So what's it all about? Twitter allows you to send micro blogs. So these are short messages of up to 141 characters, so very, very short, snappy little statements that you can post online. And Twitter goes out to the whole global audience, so it's a very public place, so don't say anything on it that you may regret, as many celebrities do, including All Blacks and whatnot. If you want to learn more about Twitter, on Paliverse.com there's a how-to guide, how to use Twitter. So just go to Paliverse.com, search for Twitter 101, and this Idiot's Guide to Twitter for Health Professionals is there. That takes you through exactly how you can use it, not to abuse it, but how it can make a difference in your own palliative care education and your own palliative care life, and also how you can also spread the message of palliative care to a non-palliative care audience. So think about trying it out. Don't be afraid. You don't need to send stuff out straight away. You can be a lurker. You can check out what's going on in the palliative care world. There are lots of palliative care threads and chat lines. So what you need to look for is hashtags. Going to the next slide, actually, slide 31. There's a number of palliative care tweet chats going on. Such as the ones at hashtag HPMJC. So that's the Hospice Palliative Medicine Journal Club. So if you typed in hashtag HPMJC, that will connect you up to that particular tweet chat. So tweet chat is a live online forum where people, so in the case of the journal club, people would have read the journal beforehand and then they can discuss the journal online in real time. So these chats occur at certain times of the day, at certain weeks, and everybody gets together and talks about the article. So there may be possibly 50 people, 100 people, maybe more, talking about the same journal article, discussing it, how is this going to affect my practice, all done online in real time. So if your journal club's a bit small, think about joining a tweet chat journal club. There's also hashtag HPM, Hospice Palliative Medicine, and hashtag HPM Global. So that's the Global Palliative Care Conversation. Coming soon, drum roll please, will be hashtag Palans. So this is going to be run by Palliverse, sponsored by Palliative Care Australia. So just a little message to Mary Schumacher, who's probably on the way to Auckland at the moment. Would you like a piece of the action? You can't have the Aussies hogging all of the glory. Just remember things like Pavlova, Crowded House, Russell Crowe. You know, the Aussies like taking over from us Kiwis. So hashtag Palans. That's going to be a palliative care chat for Australians and New Zealanders. Coming very soon, we will advertise it, but we would love you to be involved in it. So it's talking about palliative care topics. So coming to a screen or smart device near you very, very soon. On to slide 32, I am keeping an eye on the time. I'm just going to talk about some of the apps that I like to use, which have made my life a bit easier and might make your life easier as well. Essential apps that I use on a daily basis to make work and life in general a bit easier. So Evernote, this is one of my favorites. I will say that I don't have shares in this company or anything like that. I just really like using it. It's made my life much easier in terms of finding things and finding information. It could make your life easier as well. Check it out yourself at evernote.com. Examples of it are that it allows me to carry an opioid conversion chart on my smart device. I can take photos of things like telephone contact lists for hospital palliative care teams. And once you've taken a photo of something, it goes to the Evernote server. It gets the optical character recognition works on it, and it allows it to index it. So, for instance, if I wanted to look up the Auckland Palliative Care team's phone numbers, I could just type in Auckland Palliative Care, and it'll come up highlighted. And there you go. It saves me a lot of time. Could save you a lot of time. I would have preferred to present this talk using Evernote because there is a presentation mode as well, so you can type notes into it. So what I've been doing at lectures is I take photos of the slides, I can annotate those slides straight away, and if I bring these slides or these notes back to my home team, I can show them a slideshow very, very quickly with just the push of a button, so it's really quite handy. Check it out for yourself. Another essential app in these days is Dropbox. Similar to other things like the OneDrive, you can put things into the cloud. It's a shared folder in the cloud. And you can put photos on, you can put presentations on, you can put whatever you want. Palliverse.com, we use this quite a lot because we collaborate on a lot of our projects, and it allows quick collaboration. I'm sure you may have seen Dropbox yourself. There is a business version as well, so it's just a way to share files and collaborate with each other in a very quick way. So as with Evernote, it synchronizes all of your files to every device that you use, be it your laptop, your desktop, your smart device. So it allows you to have all of your stuff anywhere that you work. Next slide is 34, Feedly. So you may not have heard of Feedly, but this is a very clever app or website which allows you to collate things. It makes a little personal news feed for yourself. You can have running into it your favorite blogs, your favorite journals, your favorite whatever. So it gathers all of the stuff that you're interested about into one little place. So it can send it into your device, into your desktop, whatever you want to read it from. It's quite clever. Again, there is a Palliverse.com tutorial or a tutorial article about how to set up your Feedly feed. So check that out. It may be very helpful for all of us trying to keep up with what's going on in the world, in the palliative care world. Next slide, 35, please. So another essential app is Pocket. So Pocket allows you to, in a similar fashion, carry things in your pocket. If it's on your smart device or your iPad, your Samsung tablet, whatever, it allows you to collect articles in a fashion that is easy to read, that you can look at later on. And you can do a really clever thing, which is explained in the Paleoverse.com tutorial about Feedly and Pocket. You can, with another app, connect your Feedly feed to your Pocket so that Feedly will automatically gather all the stuff that you want to read and send it into your Pocket so that you don't even have to look for stuff on the internet anymore. It will look for it for you and send it to your Pocket so that you've got reading material at hand wherever you go. So it's pretty cool, I think, and it might help you to keep up to date with journals and blogs and whatever else that you like to read, both in the palliative care and non-palliative care worlds. Next slide is slide 36. This has become one of my personal favorite apps. I started using it about 290 days ago in October of last year, headspace.com. It's all about mindfulness, you know, mindfulness meditation. It's the fashionable thing at the moment. This is an app which helps you do it. You can try it out yourself for free. You know, the guy Andy Puddicum used to be a Buddhist monk. He's made this quite cool app. You can download it for free here at the Google Play Store or at the Apple App Store or the Windows Store for those three Windows mobile users in the world. So headspace.com is where you can find it. You can try it for free, 10 minutes per day for 10 days. If you like it, you can get a subscription. I did so last year, and I find that the mindfulness meditation has helped me in my day-to-day life and also with my palliative care practice. I've written an article about it on palliativeverse.com. You can check it out yourselves. So time is running. This is another app that I think will become essential, Google Translate. As you can see in my little slide, we've got real-time translation of the Spanish, which is at the top, to English at the bottom. So this can actually happen. I've done it on my own smartphone. Free download, Google Translate. You can also talk into it and it will translate into the other language. We've got lots of different people living here in the county's Manukau Health Farm area. And so we need, this can be a helpful app for us. It might be helpful in your neck of the woods as well. Check it out. Slide 38, Skype Translator. If you click on this link, it will show this lovely video of what Skype have been working on, so real-time translation. So on the left, we've got this nice little girl from America talking to her counterpart in Mexico. And so the little girl in the U.S. is speaking in English, but the little girl in Mexico is hearing the translated words from her American friend in Spanish and vice versa. So this is pretty cool. This is coming very, very soon. And so soon we won't need to worry about language barriers. At the moment, they're still working on it, but as time goes by, the translating ability will only get better. So check this video out yourself. I found it quite touching. Slide 39, please. So gadgets, you know, you got the old Star Trek tricorder that was in vogue about 30 years ago on Star Trek, the television show. Compare that with the modern smartphone. You know, there are similarities. Maybe there will be apps which can do what the tricorder was proposed to do. Think about it. Page 40, please. The future of palliative care. Look in the mirror yourselves. You are the future of palliative care. And think about that while you listen to this bit of music. Yes, we are the future of palliative care, don't you forget it. So, page 41. Yeah, there's lots and lots of gadgets and lots of them are wearable. So this is where we talk about the Internet of Things. It's not just about connecting to the Internet, but things that you wear, things that you use connect with the Internet. On the top left corner is a parody of Google Glass. So Google Glass looks a bit cooler than that. Well, looks a bit geekier than that, actually. There's a camera, there's a phone, there's a headset, there's a microphone. That's all incorporated into Google Glass. You might have heard of this thing on the right called the Apple Watch. Still trying to figure out what you can actually use it for. So I'm not rushing out to buy one. Down on the bottom left corner is smart denim. So This is Project Jacquard, so it's Google and Levi's working together to make very smart cloth that could actually become sensor devices. So this is really wearable technology, like smart jeans. On the bottom right corner is the Microsoft HoloLens. And so this is how Microsoft envisions that we'll be working with computing devices. You pop these lenses on and it shows virtual projections of things that you might be working on, such as models of palliative care and so forth. Just got to be careful that you don't walk into the hospice cat while you're walking around with these lenses on. Slide 42, please. So this is a bit of a joke, but this might solve our problems with Auckland traffic. You know, our CPC nurses might be jetting around with these devices. So this is the Martin jetpack, invented by a very smart Kiwi. And here's the relevant bit of music for that. Okay, back to slide 43. So what's going to happen in the future? Well, predictions are that 50% of jobs will be replaced by robots, is what they're talking about, and this could well become a reality. So this is a picture of Baymax from the Disney movie Big Hero 6, but what you didn't know about Baymax was that he was actually based on technology that has been developed in Japan and in the United States, caregiving robots coming to a hospital near you. Next slide, 44, future trends. There will be more and more of 3D printing, possibly of tissue and even organs. So the transplant medicine may well be radically changed. As I said, Global Village that we have is only mere clicks away. Anything that you develop can be sent to a global audience very quickly. Artificial intelligence is on its way, something that Stephen Hawking, Elon Musk, and other very smart people are sending warning signs about. Drone deliveries, think about what drones could do in terms of delivering syringes or other medications for our clientele. So it's about science fiction becoming science fact. The pace of change in the next 5 years will be huge compared to the past 20 years. So, you know, 20 years ago, internet had just started. But think about all the changes that will occur in the next 5 years. It's just going to take off. Next slide, 45. So what's coming up? Well, Time Magazine think that death is going to be beaten by 2045, the year man becomes immortal. Us in the palliative care world may need to look for other jobs. Page 46. So what dangers are there with this technology? Well, it might actually distract us from what is happening in front of you. We don't want death to become gadgetized. Hey, let's download the death app. So illustration of that is looked after a family where they were pretty tech savvy. They had bought a thermometer so that they could constantly check their loved one's temperature. They had a pulse oximeter at home as well. And this patient came to our hospice, was having end-of-life care, and the family members were using their iPhone to time the apneas that the patient was going through. So we surely don't want that gadgetization of death, that people don't connect with each other anymore. So, quote from J. Safran Foer, the closer the wheel gets to our fingertips, the further it gets from our hearts. So what we don't want is our people becoming so high-tech that they lose touch with each other, lose touch with reality. So it's the human connections that we don't want to lose. So in summary, we've taken you on a bit of a journey through the past, the present, the future. There's lots of opportunities, but there's also possible costs. So if you have any questions, now's the time to send them out to me. Thank you for paying attention. So I have a question for you. Are you going to go with the flow, or will you be swept away by the digital tsunami? Hyperlinks, as I said, should work. If they don't, please email me or tweet me. Join the conversation at palliverse.com. I'll see you online. Thank you for your avid attention. Thanks.